Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's continue our study of the book of Daniel. Hallelujah. We'll continue. Should be part 3. I think that should be part 3. And we should be going to chapter 3 actually, but a recap. Remember that chapter 2 is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and the interpretation was given by Daniel, and all it was God giving the history of the world in advance. I stressed the last time that what God Himself was doing was showing us through that revelation He gave to Daniel, the interpretation of the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. The period that is referred to as the times of the Gentiles, He, God Himself, had decided to allow man to rule the world. And after that, He Himself will now come and take over. That is the whole dream depicted in that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream. And please listen very well, because these things are not in books, in bookshops. Those that try to write some things are all messed up. You know, the revelations don't jive. But God Himself has come in this age to grant us understanding. Amen. And remember that we have concubines and we also have the bride. Never lose sight of who you are. Abraham had children, but there were two groups. There was Isaac on one hand, and there were the children of the concubines in the other hand. But they were all his father. I mean, he was all their father. They were all his children. But there is something about Isaac, the child of promise. There's something that the father gave Isaac that he didn't give to the children of the concubines. Praise the Lord. And we is a type of two groups of Christians at this end time. Don't lose sight of that. Never you lose sight of that. Forget this thing that is going on, that we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. Yes, we are one. It's the same father. Yes, Isaac and the children of Keturah and Ishmael, are they not one? Are they not the same father? Don't they have the same father? But there's something about Isaac. Take note of that. Christianity generally, amen. Christianity generally, yes, it's the same Jesus. We are calling Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But we have two groups of Christians, like Abraham had two groups of children. And we are privileged to be on the other side, like Isaac. Amen. And I have taken time several times to show you why we can claim to be with Isaac and not Ishmael, and not the children of the concubine. So when you come like this, listen. What stands us out different from the denominational church is nothing but revelation. That's all. It's revelation. Nothing more. It's just revelation. And it's good that you understand your Bible. If you don't understand the Bible, anybody can come and use anything and just, you know, bamboozle you. we are so special until God calls us the elect. I say us because I know where I am in the scheme of things. In the agenda of God, if you don't know where you stand, then you are most miserable. Me, I know where I stand. I know He is my Father and my God. This rapture, I go go. I don't know how many people can say that. This rapture, I will be there. And I'm not going because I say it. I am going because I am working hard to be there. To go in the rapture is not a confession. It's a life. And it's a response to the move of God. So you listen carefully. Because we are here. What stands us out is the revelation of the Word. The Bible. The Word. A group of people that from Genesis to Revelation, we know we can open anywhere and speak from it. This is the seventh church age. This is the last church age. And after this seventh church age, no other age. This is the age that we see the rapture. And that's why many of you, the commonest revelation people are having this day now is revelation of the rapture. Because we are in the season of the rapture. God is rounding up salvation. And so He's revealing things that the bride should know. Not for intellectualism, not to have it as a head knowledge, but for you to see reason to make your calling and election sure. Every sermon we preach is to give you reason to take your eternal destination more seriously. And we keep emphasizing it because of the attitude of some people we see. People that are not, your growth is very slow, very, very slow, spiritual growth. Very, very slow. You are more carnal than spiritual. In this time that I call injury time. So the story, the book of Daniel, is another book of revelation. I told you earlier. So we'll take it chapter by chapter like that so that you'll understand. Just to round up chapter 2, the image, we explained it, you know, that the three, the four parts of that image, head of gold, and the next one is what? The part of silver, brass, gold, silver, brass. We have explained all that. Don't want to waste time on it. But I said that the last part of that image, two legs with 10 toes. And we spoke what it means. It was speaking of the four world empires that will rule the world. The four world empires, the first one is what? Babylon, which is Nebuchadnezzar himself, the head of gold. Then the Medes and the Persians. That's why you have two hands. Then we have the Christian Empire. And the fourth one is the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire seems to occupy, is a longer part of that image than the others. Divided into two legs, and then the leg is made of iron mixed with clay, with 10 toes. Is a description of the Roman Empire. And we saw that those two legs were the division of the Roman Empire at the stage that was divided into two, the eastern and the western provinces. And the 10 toes are the 10 federated nations that made up the empire when the empire broke. When the empire broke, it broke into 10 independent nations. And as clay cannot mix with iron to become one, those nations remained independent. They could not come together under one headship again. We also saw that that image, the quality of the metals was diminishing from gold to silver. Silver is more precious than brass. Brass more precious than iron and of course clay. That is, it is heavy at the top in that image, but as time goes on, it became weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Until in the days of those 10 toes, in the days, and I said those 10 toes are what has further fragmented into the countries that make up the European Union today. And in the days of those nations, praise the Lord, that is when the Ancient of Days himself, the stone kingdom, the stone that was hewn without hand from a mountain, came and smashed those legs into pieces, and then it grew and filled the whole earth. And that is talking about how the system of man, the times of the Gentiles, the rulership by man, how it will come to an end. That stone is Christ himself, ruling in the millennial kingdom. That is what Daniel saw. King Nebuchadnezzar saw, and Daniel was given the interpretation. Praise the Lord. I want you to take note that the four empires, there are two servants of God in the Bible, two prophets in the Bible that spoke something that affects the whole world, a program of God, an agenda of God. The four empires that will rule before Christ, they were all revealed to Daniel. And very interestingly also, in the book of Revelation, before Christ will come again, the four horse riders, the gates of hell that Christ spoke about, depicted by the four horse riders in the book of Revelation chapter 6, were revealed to John. These two are a type of the bride. Daniel is a type of the bride that had the revelation in his day of this program of God on this earth before he will come and take over. He had that privilege, and he put it down as he was shown. The same thing also, John also had that same privilege of seeing this, you know, how things will unfold, and finally Christ will come and take over, knock off all the system, and rule here for 1,000 years. Now, for emphasis, we just make reference to the three earlier empires. They are all history now. And I told you the last time, sometimes in God's own agenda, when certain prophecies are given like that, there is no need for him to, you know, to take time raising people to begin to call attention to them, because it will not make sense. So he allows events to unfold. That's why William Branham make that statement, we quote quite often. He says, prophecies are made clear by events. History has now making the understanding of some of these prophecies easier and better now. The Babylonian Empire, we saw how it ended. We know all the history, when it started, when it ended, the Christian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, when they started and when they ended, and then the third one, the Christian Empire, when they started, they ended. The one that concerns us is the last empire. Just like John also was shown the four horse riders. The first one, was a white horse. The second one was a red horse, red horse rider. And the third one was a black horse rider. Then the fourth one was a pale horse rider. We have spoken this, I'm making reference so that I can summarize and we'll go to where we want to go today. Now you will observe that the first three covered the larger part of the first six church ages. We are now in the seventh church age, and the Antichrist spirit that is riding now, depicted by those horse riders, which Christ in Matthew 16 referred to as the gates of hell. Amen. When it will be riding, it is now it is riding. So our interest is not the last three horses, it is the present horse now. For that is the one that affects us. The same thing also, the revelation God gave Daniel is the same thing also. The three last empires, they are gone, their history. The one that affects us now is the fourth empire, which is the Roman Empire. And we shall see as we move along that this Rome, this city of Rome. Amen. Hallelujah. People are looking at ISIS. People are looking at the Boko Haram, Islam. It's a distraction, though. I told you last week, there is nothing I saw in the Bible that points me to Islam in the agenda of evil Satan. Check, maybe you saw it in my absence, I don't know. Nothing about Islam there. To me, my own interpretation is God just used Islam to wire these Western nations who have forgotten God completely and then put their trust in science. You see what is happening among them now? No peace anywhere, all of them, no peace. So it's just God's little cane that God allowed. It's caning them, just allow them. Where we are to watch is Rome. The Antichrist is coming from Rome. It's not in Arab world, it's not in Islam, it's not in any terrorism. That is not the real terror. Is on his way. He's preparing himself. The real terror. Therefore, every time is open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. Thou hast
placed in my hand.
Placed in my hand. The messages all we center on this last empire. Daniel saw this twice. It was given to him twice. In Revelation chapter 7, he was shown again four different beasts. And of the four, we shall come there when we get there to chapter 7. And of the four different beasts, the last one, the fourth beast, was something very, 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 very peculiar. There was something peculiar about it. Hallelujah. That is where he saw that head with 10 horns. Then there was an 11th horn. In chapter 2, he saw 10 toes, isn't it? And they were all nations. And they were all kings. Now he is shown in another way, but the same meaning. That last one, which is the fourth empire, he saw it with 10 horns. Then there was a little horn again. That little horn that he saw in Daniel chapter 7 is that little city that is controlling the whole world today. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Daniel in Babylon, if you have ever tried to imagine the boldness that that young man had, could face a king and tell him that revelation, it takes boldness. That is number one identity of the bride ministry. Because it is a ministry that has to do with revelation, that ministry is bold. He faced the king at the risk of his life and told the king what he saw. Well, we notice that Daniel received a promotion to rule. Amen. Hallelujah. Something very unique, as I reached this point, I was meditating. I remember that there were magicians in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar, in his kingdom. There were astrologers, there were magicians. While there was a Daniel that had the same anointing, the same grace, the same power that those magicians also had, but one is magic, Daniel's own was original. I told you about John's ministry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The bride will prophesy again. He said, "For thou must prophesy again." Chapter 10, verse 11. Revelation chapter 10. Can we read it? Hallelujah. Maybe let's go to verse 9 first. "And I went unto the angel and said unto him," because in verse 8 he was told to go and collect the book from the angel that stood, "Give me the little book." And he said unto me, "Take it, John, take it and eat it up." Eat it up. And I told you the meaning of eating here. "And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth, as he prophesied, sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now verse 11, what did he say? "And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again." The key word there is again. Again. Before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. If he is going to prophesy again, when did he prophesy before? It was on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost was the day he prophesied. Turned the whole city of Jerusalem upside down. And he's saying that John is a type of the bride. That there will be another revival again before the rapture. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. And there will be another upper room experience again. That will happen. It will be a worldwide ministry that will make everybody to open mouth. Wow. And look what is happening. That is the ministry of the bride. And so, for now, anytime God wants to move, Satan will first go and do his own. Have you not seen the magicians now opening churches? With titles, prophet, doctor, prophet, apostle, with mighty signs and wonders, mighty. Gather you, all like this, all of you will fall down. Kick you like this will fall down. Anointing. And you observe that this thing just suddenly sprang up within a particular period. And they are multiplying it today, every day, they are increasing. The commonest ministry now, all the churches now, they are all prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. They are all prophet. The book of Daniel is a prophecy for the future. It's foreshadowed there. The condition of the church before Christ will come. Before the rapture will strike. Praise the Lord. And imagine that God himself knows how to do it. In the palace of Pharaoh, he showed the difference between the original and the magician's own. The snake of Moses swallowed up the snake of the magician. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The snake of the bride will swallow their own up. Daniel, God will do it in a way. Hallelujah. God purposely is allowing them to do it, allowing them just go ahead so that when the original comes, everybody will know the difference. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So imagine how those magicians felt when Daniel came with the interpretation. Don't tell me the dream. Because Nebuchadnezzar said, let me know whether you are you. There must be a showdown. I said there must be a showdown. There must be something that will be done that everybody will know where God's address is. Who his true bride are, who they are. So just picture, that was the word, picture it. How will those magicians feel when this young boy come and, you know, told the king the dream and the interpretation? You see? And there's something that I love about Daniel. And that's why I've been saying this recently, please, especially those of us, the ministers, take note. I told you this, that the bride of Jesus Christ, one identification that will begin with us is not, God will not start with anointing. Listen very well. God, when the move will start, take note that it is John that he said will prophesy. And there is the identity of John was the identity of love. And John, there is no other apostle that preached love as a major theme like John. So, the identity of the bride will be love. And it is not love of brother, sister, I love you, I love you. It will not be contractual love where you love somebody only because he's a member of your church. You love somebody because he's a member of your group. No. It is no longer the love of God. It is now, or you love somebody because you want, you are looking for something from him, or he's giving you something. The day he stops coming to your church, he becomes your enemy. The day he stops giving you what he's giving you, fight will start. No. The type of love is agape love. In fact, that is what the capping up of the statue of perfection is, charity. Hallelujah. The bond of perfection. That's what the Bible calls it, is charity. And William Branham put it this way, that that is number one evidence that you will know that you have the Holy Ghost. And me, I say, not just the Holy Ghost, that you will know that you are part of the bride of Christ. He said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is that you come to an instant where you will see somebody hates you. Somebody hates you. If he has opportunity, he will kill you. He's the one responsible for all your misery, and you get to know. And you face him. He said, not that you are working it, not that you are doing it to please anybody, but you still find something inside of you that still loves that person. He said, when you reach that stage, then you say, I have the Holy Ghost. For God is love, and he that loveth, you are of God because you love. God so loved. While we were yet his enemies, he paid the price for us. So, I'm emphasizing this so that you will get to know that we must grow to that level. I keep saying this. I say, see, those of us who are gifted, prophets, all of us, there are some of you sitting down there, listen very well. The angel of God is different from the Holy Ghost. Listen. I hear a voice every time. I hear a voice. Sometimes you say, and the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord spoke to me. Can I tell you something? The person that is speaking to you is the angel assigned to you. It's the angel, oh. Now listen. William Branham told us something. He said he was preaching in a program, and a young boy and his girlfriend were sitting at the back, and they were fondling each other and they were kissing. While the pillar of fire was down, everywhere was charred, discernment was going on, and his sight caught them. Naturally, if I am the one, hey, Jehovah, I will prove to you I'm a servant of God. I'm anointed. I will tell the angel, follow me. And the angel followed William Branham. He walked to them. He said the angel told him, say anything, make any pronouncement, and it will come to pass. So he could have said, you called my ministry, therefore paralyze. So that you will know that. You saw the one, I watched the one, Chris Okafor. He brought the woman and said, and brought the mother and said that God was telling him that the woman, the mother was the one responsible for her childlessness or something like that. And then the mother was denying it. And then he got angry. You are denying it. This servant of God, I tell you, I give you revelation. What God is saying, you are saying it is a lie. He said, if I be a prophet of God, I command you now, blind in the name of Jesus. Now, somebody listen. William Branham had the same opportunity. And the woman was doing like, say she's blind. So whether she's blind or she's not blind, she's blind. I watched it. Because these days, you don't even know what is real again. Hallelujah. We don't know what is real again. Ah, Satan! Hallelujah. And so William Branham went there. He said when he left the pulpit, went there in anger. He said, but when he got there, he said, I forgive you. Hallelujah. Then William Branham added that is what the Holy Ghost was waiting for him to do. But the angel said, scatter your leg. But the Holy Ghost, oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But why do I say so? Don't live your life by a gift. Live your life with the knowledge of the word. Every voice you see, every vision you see, before you apply it, test it by the word. That's why it's important you know the Bible. If not, a voice will wake up one day, a voice will tell you, divorce your wife. And you say, that voice has never failed. Anytime God tell me that, I'm just telling you this so that you will know, amen, that the revival that is coming up, many of us are not yet qualified. We are still too carnal. And we are expecting this mighty revival that is coming. The difference between us and them will be love. Everything we do will be wrapped up in divine love. And that love has to start among us, for charity begins at home. Among us here. The way we deal with one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And because why I remember that is that Daniel, a type of the bride. But remember that he went and told the eunuch in charge of the wise men, whatever they are. He told him, say, hold them, don't do anything. Let me go to my God. He pleaded that he should not kill them. He pleaded that his enemies should not be killed. Hold this for them, die prayer. Now in the charge. In any other prayer, you know the charge. All the prayers you pray, that you pray sweating, now throw arrow. And we have churches that are promoting. Anybody will say, you're not going to see the end of this year. Now listen. But instead of saying, fall down and die, why not say, Lord, separate him from me? Do you understand? Anybody standing on my way, Lord, remove him from me. Now God knows he could take removal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why that song that I say, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly door, let me go all the way with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Praise the Lord.